Welcome to the Emmanuel Baptist Church Podcast. We pray that the sermon you're about to hear would be useful as you grow in your love for God and your love for His church. Now, here's today's sermon.
Amen. If you would, go ahead and grab a Bible. If you don't have one, that's all right. We've got the Pew Bibles in front of you, or I know everyone's carrying one digitally. So if you can't turn there, go ahead and click there now. Malachi chapter 4. We're going to be finishing up the book of Malachi today. We've been in it 11 weeks. Can you believe that? We've been in the book of Malachi for 11 weeks, and with a few other standalone sermons thrown within there, we have been going through the book of Malachi verse by verse since the start of summer. And so it's been quite a haul through this Old Testament book. After this, the next big study we're going to be doing is through the books of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. I'm going to jump to the New Testament. And so you can go ahead and start studying that and getting ready for our time in 1st John. We'll be there for quite a while. So Malachi chapter 4. The final three verses of the Old Testament, not just the book, but these are the last three verses of the Old Testament, God's last prophet to Israel before what they call the period of silence, the intertestamental periods between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Malachi was the last prophet of God, the last one to write in the, what now we have, the Old Testament. These are the last three verses that Israel had recorded in Holy Scripture before 400 years of silence, before Christ Jesus himself stepped on the scene. This is what it says. Are you there? Malachi chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. This is what the Word of God says. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. And that is the end of God's word to Israel for 400 years. Notice this passage's connection with last week. Last week, we looked at the first three verses of chapter 4. This week, we're looking at the last three verses of chapter 4. And notice how they are one linear thought. This week is connected to last week. Last week, we talked about that final day of the Lord, right? It's going to be a dark day, verse 1, a day of judgment. And it's going to be a good day with good things happening, right? Where for the people of God, they receive in full fruition joy, leaping like calves out of stalls, healing. It comes with the dawn or the rising sun painting the sky. Healing is brought out and conquering. Where all that captivated us and enslaved us and stood on us, that great day of the Lord brings conquering for us over all of that evil. And so it's a dark day, and it's a good day. And this week, we look at verse 4 where he says, remember the law of God. You can notice the natural connection where he says, a great day of judgment is coming. And so, naturally, today, he's saying, prepare for that day. Remember the word of the Lord. Remember God's law. Live it out. Live like Jesus is coming back soon, because he is. Right? So, that's the natural cohesion. Prepare for the day of the Lord. And so, I want you to hear that message today. Whether that great day of the Lord for you right now would be a dark day or a really good day. Either way, prepare for that day. Live today like Jesus is coming back. But notice also, not only is this passage so cohesive with the verses before it, naturally, but also notice how well, I heard another pastor say this, and I just couldn't agree more. I took note of it whenever I would preach through Malachi one day. And these verses serve as a perfect, I think, bridge between the Old and the New Testament. And it makes sense, they're the last few verses between the two. Do you see how it's such a perfect bridge between the Old Testament and the New Testament, these three verses we just read? Verse 4, he says, remember, look back. Don't forget that stuff. Don't forget. Remember Moses. Remember my law. Remember my statutes. Remember. And then verses 5 and 6, anticipate. I'm sending one day, Elijah. And he's going to come and herald the great day of the Lord before it comes. There's a bridge there. Remember that stuff and anticipate that stuff. And so this is really my main point that's going to, I think, structure a lot of our time together is this. You need your whole Bible. There it is. It's out there. You need your whole Bible. Treasure your Bible. The people then needed it. You and I need it now. We need our whole Bible. We need to value and remember the Old Testament. Remember the Old Testament. Live cherishing the Old Testament. We need to value that and then also look that still someone amazing comes in the New Testament. You need your whole Bible. So, that's our structure, if you will, our two points through our time together in God's Word. Well, let's walk through that and consider those two things. How we need to value the Old Testament and still see that something amazing, someone amazing, came in the New Testament. Let's look back first. There is value in your Old Testament. And I need to say that because a lot of people, a lot of Christians today, professed Christians, would say you don't. And in all honesty, a lot of Christians have bought into that, that the Old Testament is very unfamiliar to a lot of us, right? If we're going to flip through the pages of Scripture, where do we normally? You kind of go towards the back of the book, right? We're unfamiliar with the Old Testament. Therefore, it's just a cyclical process of never wanting to read it, right? For instance, if I were to say, let's turn to Obadiah. Well, some of you may have a jingle going through your head right now, right? You know what I'm talking about. It starts with Genesis, and you're going to be naming all the books of the Old Testament. And the rest of us might say, well, I'm waiting for you to tell me which book in the Bible the story of Obadiah is in. We're unfamiliar with our Old Testaments. And I think a lot of Christians are embarrassed, can I say? Ashamed of saying, yeah, we still read that. I think a lot of Christians, professing Christians, are because that's where really the controversial judgment passages are. And yeah, we still believe in sacrifice, bloody sacrifice for the payment of sins. Yeah, that's that old school thought. Yeah, we still believe in that concept of a bloody sacrifice for wrongdoing. Yeah, we believe in judgment. And so I think a lot of Christians are unfamiliar with it, or I'm even embarrassed and ashamed of it. And it's not helpful that many, I think, false teachers are saying that we should unhitch from the Old Testament. That phrase is common in Andy Stanley. Just unhitch from it. But there's value in our Old Testament. In this verse, the very first word of verse 4 says, remember. Remember. You're going to be going into hundreds of years of silence. Your grandchildren won't have a prophet. Your great-grandchildren won't have a prophet. It's likely your great-great-grandchildren won't have a prophet. So remember what I've already given you, is what God is saying to Israel. You see, looking at and knowing the past helps us love Jesus better moving forward. I believe that. Learning from the past helps us live tomorrow. I was talking a couple days ago with Brother Bruce. I don't think he's here today. And about the book that he's writing. I think he already wrote and going to be sending it out soon, distributing it. About the history of Harrison County and all the events that have taken place, tragedies and exceptional events. And so we were just talking about an amazing thing. And I think that is just an amazing thing that he set out to do and accomplished, because history matters. And I don't know if he had this in mind when he did that, but I think one great value of remembering history and appreciating history is because it's full of life lessons and examples that we can live according to, both good and bad. So I don't know if that was the motivation behind Bruce doing that. You could ask him, but I think that is one great thing that makes that book and just history, the study of history in general, absolutely worthwhile, because we can remember and in doing so learn from and glean life lessons out of the examples that have gone before us. And you see, that's a biblical concept, remembering and learning from. Let me give you just a couple examples out of Scripture here where that's a biblical concept. The book of Deuteronomy, God is speaking through Moses to the people, and it's a new generation of believers. They've been wandering for a long time, and this is what God wants to say to them. Remember, all throughout Deuteronomy, when it's hard to trust God, remember what He's already done for you. Deuteronomy 5, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. So when you feel overwhelmed by your circumstances, when you feel like life is hard right now, remember what God has brought you out of. Remember the mighty hand of God in your past. When you're afraid, remember God's protection over you. Deuteronomy 7:18. If we just keep going through this book, for you shall not be afraid of them, but you shall remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all of Egypt. So when they're going out and conquering Canaan and they're afraid, and when you're afraid and all the things that's going on in your lives and you're just not so sure, what helps us but remembering the salvation of our Lord that's already taken place? There's power in remembering to help us going forward. Those are just two examples. What about when you feel alone? When you feel like you're in a dark place? Remember that God never leaves you. Deuteronomy 8, verse 2. You shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness. When you feel like His voice can barely hear it and you just don't know, God, are you even there anymore? Remember, He never left you your side. 40 years marching through that wilderness, Israel. God never left you. So when you feel alone, when you feel like God is gone, remember. When you feel tempted by sin, remember God's wrath and His hate for sin. Deuteronomy 9, remember and do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness from the day that you came out of the land of Egypt until you came to this place. You have been rebellious against the Lord. So not only happy memories and good memories of God being with you and never leaving you, not only the good and happy memories are helpful for us moving forward and trudging through this thing called life, but also remembering the bad things. God's judgment is real. And let us not forget it so that we would repeat our sins moving forward. Right? Remember the good, and may those lead us forward. And remember the bad, and may that lead us forward. We can learn from the past. And that's God's message to you today. May you know, may you value history, but I'd say even more so a particular history, the history recorded in God's holy word. Hide it in your heart. That's what Sarah was talking to the kiddos about. Hide God's word in your heart so you might not sin against God when temptation comes knocking on your door, when fear comes knocking on your door, when self-hate starts knocking on your door. Hide God's word in your heart so that you wouldn't repeat the sins that we've already done in the past. But remember what he said, who he is, what he's done. But it takes knowing and internalizing, dare I say, memorizing Scripture, to have recall in those moments. Let me ask you, what defense do we have against the weapons of our enemy or the crushing effects of our own disparities if we don't have the recollection of God's past wonders and His works and His Word? If we don't have that, what defenses do we have against the enemy and against ourselves? When you lay down this Word, you lay down your sword and your shield. So God is saying, remember, there's value in remembering. Specifically, he says, remember what? The law. Remember my statutes. The rules. Still in verse 4 here. Remember the law, the statutes, and the rules that I commanded him, that's Moses, at Horeb, of all Israel. Now, I've said this in the past, and it's good to repeat because it's one of the big arguments that non-Christians would have against Christians in living out your faith today. So you remember the law and the statutes and the rules, you remember the Ten Commandments, but you're not too concerned about mixing threads, reading crawfish. Must be cherry picking. Have you ever heard that? Remembering the law, but you're cherry picking which ones? Yeah. I hear that all the time. And it's not. It's not cherry picking. So when someone might come to you and say, you remember the Ten Commandments, well, why do you hold up those or the ones on homosexuality? But you have blended cotton with polyester right now. You're a bad Christian. You could say, no, good sir, ma'am, I'm a biblical Christian. And I can tell you why. It's important to answer this because it's coming at us all the time. It's not cherry picking, but we know Jesus fulfilled the sacrificial laws, right? He is our one spotless lamb, our single sacrifice, once for all paid for. So all those sacrificial laws, Jesus fulfilled them. Okay, well, what about all those purification laws, the ceremonial washings? Well, Jesus is our purification. In Him we have full purity. In Him we are washed white as snow. And so all those purification laws, those washing ceremonial laws, it's Jesus. Sacrificial laws are Jesus. Purification washing laws are Jesus. He fulfilled them for us. And so we don't live them out because Jesus lived them out. Once for all. Never had to be repeated again. In our lives, civil laws, how you treat your neighbor, how much you have to repay him when one of his cattle get hurt on your land, right? These civil laws, well, we're not in a theocracy. We're not in Israel anymore. I obey the United States of America, right? We're under, well, like the New Testament, Jesus says, Caesar, respect Caesar. And so we are good, law-abiding citizens in our respective nations, globally, right? So these civil laws, they don't apply because we're not in a theocracy. Right? And so we're not cherry picking. We just have to be able to explain why those laws don't apply practically in our lives today, but how moral laws do, because morals don't change. And what was good and right then are still good and right today. Those don't change. Killing was bad then, killing is good today. Killing is bad today. Don't kill. Don't kill. Hannah, can we cut that out of the recording? Morals don't change. Oh, what am I doing? I'm going to go back to my notes. I think that was on the top list of one of the worst things I've said. Killing is good today. Christians should keep the moral laws laid out in the Old Testament, and it's not cherry picking. It's not cherry picking. And not only are they, let me say this too also, not only are the moral laws, the moral code which God gives Israel, not only is it important that we follow them today because God expects it from us, but also I would say he gave it not only because he wants it, but also because it's good for our flourishing. God's moral standards, you should follow them not just because, certainly because it's in God's word, but I'd say not just because it's in God's word, but also because God knows what's best for you to find flourishing in your life. And he's given you instruction, guidance on that. And so when someone might come distraught saying, well, I just feel like God is fighting against me every corner. One question I guess we could ask is, well, have you tried doing things God's way? Have you tried living according to how Scripture would have you live? Because maybe, just maybe, God knows what he's talking about when he says to do this, because not only does he want it for you, but also it's good for you and for your flourishing in life. Biblical lifestyle is not only God's desire, it's also what's best for you. And so, in this verse, we see that God says, remember and appreciate the Old Testament, but also look forward. Let's move to the next two verses, verses 5 and 6. Not only do you look back, remember the Old Testament and value the Old Testament, but also anticipate looking forward because a pivotal event took place in the New Testament. He says, behold, I will send Elijah, the prophet. Pause. What does that mean? What does it mean that he's going to send Elijah? There's some controversy here, but I don't believe, in my study through Scripture, that God was promising to literally send the prophet Elijah again. I wouldn't say that. That would be my interpretation of this verse. Behold, I will send Elijah the prophet. Actually, instead, I would say God is saying, prophesying, that he would send someone who embodies the type of person that Elijah was. An Elijah-like person that will fulfill the duties that Elijah fulfilled back then. That would be my understanding. And when the New Testament came rolling around, many people thought Jesus was this Elijah. All right, because Elijah was a miracle worker, Jesus is a miracle worker. And so it makes sense. They applied Malachi 4, verse 5, and said, he's here. It's Jesus. He's the new Elijah. You can see that in Mark chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. Many people thought Jesus was Elijah. And then also, if we went to Mark 8, this is it. But, well, I'll read this first. Jesus' name had become known, and some said John the Baptist has been raised from the